Allergy season. It's so warm here. It's allergy season. I just got over a sinus cold. It was like an infection. So it's just like you hear it in my nose, my voice. Yesterday, I sound terrible yesterday. So today, I sound a little bit better. I went outside not too long ago after work, came back in. Like, I had to open up my window, then close it before recording because you didn't want to hear the sirens outside. So, yeah.
Summertime in New York. I love it. I miss it. But the allergies over here are also kicking my ass. Like they call Sacramento the city of trees, and I feel like every single tree in this city is personally attacking me. Like, stupid bitch. Welcome to the weekly show about art, politics, and pop culture from a phenomenally female perspective. I'm Sarah.
I'm Shantae.
I'm Eliane, and this is Unapologetically She.
Hey everyone, it is another day, another episode of Unapologetically She. So, welcome. We are on season 3, episode 9.
Ooh, just trucking along.
It's been 2 years since we've been recording,
Just
too.
going, going, going.
I love it.
It's been
I mean,
crazy.
we are some hardworking bitches because we go to work a 9 to 5 plus then some, right? Man.
Do this in our off time. Elian's got other podcasts she's doing on top of it. I got the mom and think on top of it. Shantae's got her life on top of it. We got st we still have time. So we
Word.
here.
God. So how has everybody's week been? Well, last 2 weeks, because we didn't record last week.
It is that crazy, most dreaded time of a school year. And if you ask any teacher or student for that matter, like they will tell you the same thing. The end of the school year fucking sucks. It's busy because you have all this stuff to get done right before the end of the school year, but everybody's tired and over it. And I say everybody because, yeah, the students, but like us too. I am tired and I am over it. Do you think I want to grade 140 like 5 to 7 page research reports the last quarter of the year? I want to crawl in a hole. Seriously. So this drink is soothing me right now because I'm on the edge.
You should have gave them an exam
I'm
and just call it a day.
the edge. For real.
Oh
Oh my God.
my God. Yeah, so how about you guys? Shantae.
I celebrated my birthday 2 weeks
Oh, that is
ago.
right. Happy
That's
belated.
right. Yes,
Thank
happy
you.
birthday.
I don't feel a day old. I still feel young.
That's right.
And I'm technically still young. I'm young until If you're under 55, you're still young. Even if you're 55 and over, you're still young because the life expectancy just keeps rising. I think it's like up to like 73, I think, 75. So,
You're only as old as you feel.
that's it.
That is
So
true.
I am blessed and highly favored. And thank you so much for the wishes. And I got some cards. I think I got like two more cards coming. I think I got one from like my aunt and my cousin coming.
Oh,
They
nice.
all remember my birthday because sometimes it'll be like the 20th or the 22nd. I'm like, no, it's the 21st. I'm a full-fledged Taurus.
See, that's easy for to re that's easy for me to remember because it's the day after Dina's.
Oh yeah.
And happy belated birthday to Dina. See, she had
Yes.
so much fun.
She did. She did. We did the whole Chuck E. Cheese thing, and he's
Huh.
still creepy, but he's not as creepy as when we were kids.
Oh, did they change him
Like,
up a bit? Gave him a
he's
raise?
like tall and like stick thin now. He looks like a
Oh.
stick with a mouse head on top.
Oh.
So still creepy, but not as creepy. Yeah. So, yep. And then we didn't record last week because I couldn't record because I was on my way to Lauren Ashley's wedding.
That's so awesome. We
Our former
obviously
co-host.
and you look so nice. And she
Camera.
even, you look so nice.
She looks so beautiful. She like, I
It
mean,
looked really
we
nice.
she had a whole color scheme with it. And it was either white, off-white, ivory, beige. Like it was a whole color scheme she had going. And we thought, like, me and a couple of our other Twitter friends that were there, because she had the whole Twitter table for the Twitter people.
Shout out to the Twitter table.
The Twitter
Word.
table. And so everybody was dressing in white and everything else. So we thought that she was going to show up in like purple because we know how much she loves purple. No, she wore a white dress.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was a beautiful dress. She deliberately got it. Like, I'm not going to say like deliberately on anything because I don't want to share too much because she hasn't put it out there yet. But she looked beautiful. The reception was beautiful, and
Here.
it was awesome. It was awesome.
You look nice. You told my I was afraid I was gonna look. I said, Sarah, you're gonna look nice. And you did. I like the other outfit, the two outfits that you wore, of course.
Yeah, we all did a wardrobe change, like me and the Twitter girls, because a lot of us were staying in the same hotel. And then a couple of the others were staying in another hotel, like 5 minutes away by foot. So we all dressed up for the wedding in our outfits. And then there was like a few hours between the wedding and the reception. So we all went back to the hotel, had wings, because we had to, of course, eat the wings in Buffalo. And no disrespect to Buffalo people, but they tasted like wings. I don't cancel me. Don't
They were
cancel me.
just wings.
They tasted like wings, but we did that, and then we all changed our outfits and went to the reception and like partied all night. So it was good. It was a fun time.
See that you met some folks, and I'm just like, oh, they look cute in person. Like, especially Gamma. She looks so cute.
She is like the most petite little thing. Like, she is teeny and
And
so
four kids
cute,
came out of that.
and she's pretty, and oh my God, she's just so, I mean, all of them are awesome. But Gamma, I just, she's so just, she's teeny, teeny. So yeah. It was like the first thing that she said when meeting all of us in person. You
Yeah,
have
we all
legs.
knew it was you when I saw you in person because I was just like, that looked like Sarah. I said, that looked like Sarah because I'm just like, red hair, pink coat, and the hair was shining too. Because you could tell you put some hair, I don't know if you put hair polish on your hair, but I'm just like, it was moisturized. I knew when you showed me the picture, I was just like, I know exactly where she is. I was like, that's Sarah. And Alien, I knew it was Alien because Alien was cute. She had her little curly hair, of course. Hair was down. Her necklace. Was like, hi, Shantae. That's when we met Cassandra. Because Cassandra was always pretty in like pictures. But I was like, she's cute. She had like nice natural hair and everything. It was a good like Geechee's. Let me tell you who's handsome in person. Geechee.
So, to our listeners, we're talking about mutual Twitter friends. If you don't know them, look them
But then
up.
we've actually met in
Look them
person,
up.
which is a trip. So
Yeah.
anyway,
Yeah,
yeah.
he is handsome.
Oh God. So,
Yes.
we're all sitting here sipping our drinks.
Yes. Cheers.
We've needed them for the last over the last couple of weeks with all this different stuff going on. But yeah. So this week with our drinks, I promise y'all, this is not going to be a regular thing like it was with the playoffs with football. But today's
Just
drink,
the
just this one time right now, unless we make it to the World Series,
one
this
time.
week's drink of the week is baseball related. And it is a drink that is themed for the San Francisco Giants, because of course it is. It's my turn for drink of the week. So this week's drink is a hum baby.
Ooh.
And a hum baby, it's originated as like a cheer, a call from the dugout in support of the pitcher. But it's changed over the years, and now it's actually closely associated with the Giants because they have a podcast called Hum Baby, or a YouTube channel called Hum Baby that centers on San Francisco Giants baseball. So,
Oh, my goodness.
the Hum Baby, it was created by Rye on the Road. It's 1.5 ounces of blood orange vodka, 1/2 ounce of Dolin Blanc vermouth, a half ounce of fresh lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of Campari, and 5 ounces of rosemary syrup with a splash of soda. So you just take everything minus the soda, put it in your shaker, pour it over the rocks, and then put soda on top, and that's it. Cool. You have a hum baby.
Hum baby.
Very you creative.
I'm
I
not.
should have been
It's
a
called
basketball
Google. It's called Google.
player.
I don't make up these drinks.
Yeah, so
I could
listeners,
never.
pause and go make this drink. Join us.
And now that you've unpaused and have your drink with you, we're going to
Yes.
get to the good stuff.
Yeah, let's go.
So, I also have the burning question this week, and I've been saving this one. I've been saving this
Oh.
one
Oh gosh.
for the
Okay.
next round that I had burning question. So, ladies, I want to know, what nicknames did your parents give you?
Oh man, mine's embarrassing. All right, so my mom calls me Cuca or Cucaracha. Now, if you translate Cucaracha from Spanish to English, it's cockroach, but she's not calling me a cockroach. There was like a cartoon, like children's book, in Puerto Rico and like Latin America. It was called La Cucarachita Martina. And she was this cockroach, but she was always dressed up like really fancy. You know what I mean? Like makeup always done, hair done, like cute outfits. So it was really like a compliment. You're like Cuca, like, you walk around like you the shit, like always done up. So that's what my mom called me, Cuca.
Cute.
Cucaracha.
That's cute. What about you, Shantae?
Because my mom always addressed me by my first name, but like she'll say, honey, dear, sweetheart. My dad be like, Sean, my dad will say Sean, because short for Shantae. Because my elder sister will call me Tay, but my father, like, hey, Sean, come here, kid, or sometimes kid, because it's like, because he'll get me mixed up with like my older sister's name, and I'm just like, now you call her Shay. Because her name is Sheba. And sometimes it'll mix me up with my sister Kimberly. I'm like, now you guys call her Kimmy. So just like, he's like, Sean. Oh, Sean, come here, kid. Kid, come here, kid. So it's just like, I was like, oh, man. But my mom always called me by like my first name because I think it's a backstory where my grandmother called her a different name, but not related to her first name. And back in then, there were parents that didn't know their kids' names. So when she came home, she asked them, "What's my name?" And they're like, "Your name is Margaret." And so, like, because down south, they call them not by their first name. And my mom's like, "I'm not doing that with y'all." So I'm just like, she only do that with my middle sister. She calls her Kimmy or Kimberly. So everything else, like my sister, elder sister and I is always our first name. But my dad is the one that gives us the nicknames. So.
All right.
Both. What about you, Sarah? What nicknames did you have?
Want to talk about embarrassing?
Yes.
My mom called me Big Butt Little Nose.
I kind of like that.
She called me Big Butt Little Nose, and like Re I don't remember who saying it, like who made the song, but it was like You know that one song where it was like, Becky got a big old butt, like all these
I think I
different
know what you're
names.
talking about. Yeah.
Every time that song came on the radio, she'd blast it. Or like every time Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back came on, she'd blast that one too. She's always making fun of my butt. Yeah. My
Well, it's naturally
dad.
yours, so.
True, true. Yeah, she always wanted to know where I got it from because everybody in my family has flat butts. So I don't know.
That's hilarious.
But
And shame that you have a nice booty. I don't know
Sarah
who
got a
thought
nice figure. We've
that.
seen Sarah in person. I mean, like, Sarah, like, you work, because Sarah works out. Sarah is like, her and I, we in the fitness thing, so we like to work out. So Sarah saw me with a big old coat on, name and see my whole shape until the wedding. So it was just like, felt like I had on extra layers of clothes, but not Sarah. Sarah was like snatched.
Shantae has figure for days, y'all. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, figure for days. Yeah. But my father would call me pale face.
Oh,
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but he's just an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms is funny. Dad's not so much. But yeah. So that's what they called me.
Man. Well, that was a good question. We should definitely post that for the listeners to
Yeah.
engage. What did your parents used to call you, or grandparents, whoever,
Yep.
brought you? Yeah.
That'll be
Mostly good.
fun.
Hopefully good, not bad.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun to see some of the answers. So.
My dad was too hood for a name. He was like, John, just like the.
They didn't call you cockroach, okay?
That's a cute reason. That's a cute
Yeah,
reason.
yeah.
He'd be like, Sean, come here. Or be like, kid. Because, like, it's three girls. Like, kid. Kid. He still say,
Fun.
kid. Hey, kid. Come here. Yo, kid. Like, yo, kid.
Oh my
Yo,
God.
kid. So, yo, kid, you're actually going to be up first in our next segment. So, our shot and chaser segment. I like that, like, transition. Just like, no
Nice
move.
segue.
Write it, yup, Oh my God. So our shot and chaser segment, for those who don't know, is when the hosts will each introduce a topic. The other hosts don't know what each person's going to talk about. So the, cold topic, so to speak, is our shot, and our chaser is our other co-host's reactions and, opinions about this topic. So, Shantae, you are going first. What do you have for us this week?
I know we haven't been on for 2 weeks, but this was like nearly 2 weeks ago. So, Stephen A. Smith, sports commentator, ESPN, was on Sean Hannity's show saying that, yeah, Sarah, saying that Black people relate to Donald Trump when it comes to his legal woes being treated differently by the justice system. Everybody had his ass for lunch. The NAACP even chimed in. Yes, they got at his big forehead ass, his balding, because he is balding. Yes, ass. Then, after getting dragged by the internet itself and all black media and white media and all demographics, he puts out a an apology video stating my words were misconstrued. If the NAACP came up to me, I'm sorry, but let's be clear, people don't. Your son, what? Like, you meant what you said. As a person, and I think he grew up here too, because I know he used to live in my building. Yes, Stephen A. Smith used to live in my building, him and his family. Yes, they did. Yes. I grew up here. Donald Trump, Donald John Trump of Jamaica Estates, Queens,
The bomb.
the bum from Jamaica Estates, the rich bum, the pick me bum, the pick me wannabe rich guy, was never treated differently by the justice system. Anything, he got away with so much shit, a lot of shit. Even from 1974, when the Justice Department sued him, he still got away with so much shit from the 70s, 80s with the fucking casinos. He was a FBI informant. Yes, he snitched on the mob, y'all. Snitch on the mob. And when the mob came after him, his dad had to save him. Yes. All the
I
illegal
was
shit
going to
he
say,
did.
how is he still alive?
That's what I said. Because his father paid him off. Because he knew what was really good. Because the mob, one thing, they pay people well. When you mess with their money, you already know what time it is. This man, throughout my childhood, filing for bankruptcy every time when the news came on as a kid, local news, I'd be like, when local news was really good, came on, Donald Trump is in court. He's being sued again for some shit. And because he's such a goddamn bad witness, as the world is seeing, New Yorkers already told you this motherfucker was a bad witness. He's a terrible dude. He's a con artist. He's a bum. He's not really rich. Like, I don't understand people. And he don't even like black people, for crying out loud. He never did. This man, that whole scheme of him going to Harlem, he went to the Spanish side of Harlem because he couldn't go to the black side of Harlem. Come on. You already know. He couldn't even go to Illion's side of Harlem. Illion was in the midst of a black Harlem. You know what he, motherfuckers would have had his ass for lunch, okay? It's only the sorry ass black people that actually like him. The loser black people. And it's not that much of them. It's like a good 5% or maybe less. But nobody, no black person said, like, this motherfucker don't relate to me. He dodged so much shit. So Stephen A. Smith, and Stephen A. Smith always been a problematic dude. And in person, he's a rude piece of shit. I can actually say that because he was not nice to the girl in the mailing room. He was not nice to the concierge. He did not speak to the neighbors. And he looked down on people. He didn't even like affordables living in the building. But so crazy, his family is actually nice people. I feel bad for them. Because you got an asshole like that. So, yeah, Stephen A. Smith can fuck all the way off. He ain't shit. And he could go and support a Republican because he's not even a closet. He's an open Republican because he always got some shit to say about the president. Y'all keep talking shit about the president. Something gonna happen to y'all. Watch.
I would like to know. I would like to know how it is that he thinks that black people relate to Donald Trump because of his legal issues when black men are disproportionately arrested and jailed and not given fairness in the courts.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to say. He's trying to say that the
And
way that Trump
and
being
that
treated
mother
now is
and that
like this.
motherfucker is getting all the leniency, like to the point, like stretching those court rules with all that leniency that he's getting. It's like, no.
Like he's trying to equate that, like Trump is getting an unfair treatment. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
He is getting unfair
And
treatment, but to
he's been
benefit
committing,
him.
yeah, the other way. Yeah, he's been committing crimes for decades and he's now finally getting charged for something. Like, give me a fucking break.
Right.
Same experience at all. Ask the exonerated five about that one. So, yeah. And on that note, Fuck you, Stephen A. Smith. And Sarah, what do you have for us today?
You guys already know.
You know.
For a change, by accident, we actually we had a listener question from one of our patrons actually on Patreon. So I wanted to cover that. They asked us what we thought about the 4B movement. And for those who don't know, like we didn't, we'd heard of it, but we didn't really know what it was. The 4B movement is a movement that started in South Korea to kind of push back against the misogyny of the culture there and the laws. And the 4Bs, or in the US as translated, would be the 4Ns, the 4Nos. But in Korea, no is B, BIB. So the tenets of the 4B stand for four. There are four principles. Bihon, which is no heterosexual marriage. Bichulsan, which is no childbirth. Biyone, which is no dating men. And Biseksu, which is no heterosexual relationships. This is all women. This is a feminist movement in South Korea. People against the movement in South Korea are blaming the movement for the low birth rate in the country. It's down to like 0.78. It's the lowest birth rate in the world right now. 65% of women surveyed in South Korea right now don't want children. They don't want to get married. Some of it's in re retaliation to high profile murders of women in South Korea, revenge porn, spy cam crimes against women in South Korea. There was also an instance where a man murdered a young woman in a public bathroom in Korea because she ignored him. Like, it's that toxic. It's still very much a patriarchy. So this movement is like, there are some in the movement that don't identify as homosexual. They don't identify as lesbians or anything. Some identify just asexual. They're not interested in it at all. Some identify it more as political lesbianism. But basically, that's it. That's the movement. It's like they don't. Nothing to do with men because men are shit.
Yeah. And so, for me, I clearly don't live by those tenets because I'm in a heterosexual marriage. I dated men. I dated a couple women too. but so obviously I don't fit that criteria. I just think what's really just shocking to me is that, you talked about like political lesbianism where it's not even the fact that, like, clearly all of these women are not lesbian. So a lot of them have been born straight, right? Imagine how awful the treatment has to be, right? To take that extreme of a step. It's not like, hey, you like having sex with women, like, you're straight, but I loathe the way these men are treating us so much that I'm gonna forego relations with them. Like, that's fucking bonkers. Like, that says a lot about how bad it is.
And I mean, and there's like a lot of commentators on the movement that are saying that, like a lot of South Korean commentators on the movement saying how Western culture has basically infected the women there. And it's like, yeah, but not really,
Not
because
really
these are
bad
Korean
behavior.
men committing these crimes against Korean women. Like, this is not, I mean, it got to the point, and I like another one of the things that kind of kicked off the movement was when the Korean government launched an online national birth map. So, like, it showed the number of women of reproductive age in each municipality in South Korea. illustrating what it expected of its female citizens or of its childbearing citizens.
That's like saying to a rapist, hey, here's a map of where all like ovulating women are. Are you fucking kidding me?
The and
That is.
the South Korean president, Yoon Suk-yeol, had won the election in March 2022 with a message blaming these women for Korea's low birth rate. He was blaming all of this stuff on this 4B movement and on Korean women, like not even part of the movement, but Korean women that just didn't want to have babies, didn't want to have children. So it's like, so yeah, it just built this, it built this movement out of there. And I guess now it's starting to kind of like trickle into the United States little by little, but yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
All I'm saying is, like, people can have their feminism. I know if I lived in that country, I want some dick. So, I mean, hey, that's on me. But if people want to do their thing, people want to have this movement, let them.
Yeah, I just think
Yeah.
that like if you're straight, you know clearly you want dick, right? But like it's so bad that you don't even want to be near these men. So I can't even imagine, because like you know how shit men are here. I can't even, oh, well,
Well,
that's
I don't
scary.
want to be in Korea anyway because I prefer melanin in my men. So, yeah.
Wouldn't be fishing in that pond. Got
No.
it. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. Well, from going from one movement to another, this week I would like to talk about the recent development in this pro-Palestine, let's call it what it is, pro-Hamas movement, this anti-Semitic movement. I feel like it's deja vu because I feel like I remember experiencing this sometime before in my life. It really reminds me of the Occupy Wall Street protests. Do you remember them? The pro-Palestine groups have begun occupying mostly public universities, some private as well. It's easier to get removed at a private university, right? So it's spreading all across the country. It's the new protest like trend, right? We're gonna camp out on the campus of Columbia University
It's the
where,
protest du jour.
yeah, where it costs about $80,000 a year to attend. So either you've got a hell of a lot of loans out, or your parents have money, right? Or you're on a scholarship. Either one of those three things, would you want to jeopardize, right? Like your standing? I guess if it's my parents' money and I'm rich and I don't really care, it's cool to cosplay re a revolutionary. You know what I mean? Like we're gonna play pretend. This is the most bizarre, like, game of play up, like dress up, that I've ever witnessed in my life. And I've taught children, right? This is what this seems like to me. We're just gonna pretend to be revolutionaries and we're really like believing that we want to fight for the freedom of Palestine. And none of us can find that shit on a fucking map. But sure, I'm gonna put my entire academic career, my parents' money or my loan money or whatever it is in jeopardy. Because it's cool right now to put on a kaffiyeh and pretend that I know anything about Palestine and Israel. So they pretty much destroyed part of that campus of Columbia University. You know, they started like pitching tents and stuff, and it's like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you have a dorm room. Go to your room. You know what I mean? Be for real. And so the other day, and I know Sarah, you're going to talk about her a little bit more later. One of the leaders of this, group that's at Columbia, put out a list of demands because they needed humanitarian aid for, you know, their fellow protesters. Yeah, they needed humanitarian aid at a volunteer thing, right? Because nobody forced you to fucking be there. No, nobody is forcing you to sleep in a tent on the cement of Columbia University. Like, I don't understand what the point of this is, right? So they really are appropriating the suffering, the actual suffering that is happening and that is being felt by people in Gaza, right? I mean, they do understand that these are real people going through some real things. And no matter which side of the issue you're on, people are suffering at the hands of higher ups that really, you know, are making the wrong decisions. I do, you know, I don't want to get too much into that. Maybe that'll be next week's topic that I delve into fucking the prime minister. Anyway, I digress. Real people are actually really suffering in Gaza. If you care about them, the least you could do is respect their, you know, experience enough not to fucking appropriate it to cosplay at a rich private school that your parents pay for you to fucking go to. Okay. Did you guys see the list of demands? And I'm going to read them to you. I'm going to read you the list of demands from the encampment at UCLA. Okay. Urgent. Okay. Headlamps. They need headlamps. I'm quite uncertain as to where are they tunneling? What do they need headlamps for? Okay. Headlamps, airsoft goggles, gas masks and respirators, especially for their medics. They have their own medics. What are we talking about here? Skater helmets, shields, wood for barrier, knee and elbow pads, rain ponchos, canopies, utility gloves, super bright flashlights with strobe, umbrellas. And then a list of like medical things. And then this is what really fucking got me. The food demands. Hot food for lunch! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Important in capital letters. Vegan food. Gluten-free food. No packaged food. No coffee, no bagels, no bananas, no nuts. Where the fuck do they think they are? Who are they demanding this shit to, bro? Walk off campus, go to the bodega and buy this shit for yourself. I don't under fucking stand. And I think this whole thing has become a complete circus and I am sick. I am sick of them.
You want to go first, Sarah, or I go first? These pro-Hamas people, because that's what the fuck that shit is. Like, these motherfuckers is lucky that the NYPD, as much as I don't care for them, did not fucking shoot them. Because I remember if there were previous leaderships, I was born during the Ed Koch. Ed Koch would have did something. Dinkins would not do anything. But the other two after Dinkins, oh, yeah. Huh?
I said Giuliani for sure would have had those cops.
And especially Bloomberg, people, you not forget, people praise Bloomberg. Bloomberg was to the T, didn't give a fuck. That little man, that Smurf, didn't give a fuck. And low key, even when Bill de Blasio appointed Bill Braxton didn't give a fuck either. Okay? And even the last guy, he didn't give a fuck. The black lady spared people's lives. The black lady that was a police commissioner. And even the Spanish one is sparing it because it's a Hispanic dude. I think he's Puerto Rican or Dominican. Sparing their motherfucking lives. Don't shoot nobody. They didn't even tear gas nobody because you would have heard that shit. You're very fucking lucky. Because if it was other previous mayors, I can't even, not even too much de Blasio, but the other two before him, oh yeah. It would have been on. You motherfuckers would have been shot.
I think that was, I think NYPD's extraction of the quote unquote protesters. They're pro-Hamas little brats is what they are. That was the smoothest extraction I've seen. Like the smoothest, not most nonviolent. I was surprised
Yeah, I
that
thought it was.
NYPD got them out of there without being violent.
And you would expect that from the NYPD because the other cities got violent with their ass. I think in Wisconsin, I think in Atlanta, I think UCLA, they got violent with them. The NYPD didn't even get violent with them. Like, didn't. They were just like, come on. And I explain about this person because this person's in my bitch ass nominee. Because motherfuckers comparing this shit to 1968.
Lawrence O'Donnell had a really good breakdown because Alex Wagner was trying to say it was like 1968. And Lawrence, basically, when he did his opening on his show, he schooled her on how it was not like 1968. That was much 1968 was much more violent against the students and stuff. And then she got off the air in a huff, and it was beautiful. And I loved it because I love Lawrence O'Donnell, but
And keep in mind the protesters back then wasn't violent.
No, they weren't. I'm noticing the students are instigating the violence. Like I saw some of the footage at UCLA where the students were rushing at the cops. Like they were rushing them, like running up to them with their little shields and shit. And I'm like, y'all better be glad you're fucking white. Otherwise, your asses would be dead. Like, the privilege of it all. And the thing is, I can understand protesting something like this because there are innocent Gazans, innocent Palestinians who are suffering. Legit, no water, no food. They are down to like skin and bones. Like they are on the crisis of a famine. But I need for people to stop blaming it on Israel and just put that blame on Netanyahu. Because he's the one making the calls on
I'm making decisions, yeah, and
He's
it's
the one
not
making the
Biden
decisions.
either, dumbasses.
Exactly. But the reason we all know, and the three of us are all calling them pro-Hamas, is because never once have you heard them condemn Hamas for what they are doing to the Palestinian people. They want to blame Israel. And if you notice, they can't, like the people, these protesters that the media is blowing up, they've centered these students in this crisis instead of the people in Palestine, in Gaza. They've centered these students. They've
Actually
brought all
suffer.
these, exactly. They're bringing all these students on, and these students can't even say, they won't even answer the question on whether they think that Israel has a right to exist. It's an anti-Semitic shit show. It's an excuse for them to be openly anti-Semitic.
You know what the crazy part is? Their parents are Reaganites and Bush Republicans traditionally. I said that. Yes, I did. And I kept saying that. People's like, why are you saying that? Because it's true. Because their parents don't like people of color. Their parents don't give a fuck about those people exist, even though those people in Palestine been there before. And the people of Israel should exist and should be there. Because guess who are the innocent victims? The young people of Israel and the people of Palestine. They're the innocent ones. Netanyahu and Hamas, this is a war between them.
It is
I
very
wish people would not say Israel versus what you call it. Call it Netanyahu versus Hamas. Because that's what this shit is.
Oh, well, thank you guys for your thoughts. I know there's more we want to say about this topic, and I have a sneaking suspicion we'll be talking about it some more because this doesn't really seem to be going away. That this little trend that's happening, this anti-Semitic, disgusting, vile behavior, it doesn't seem to be slowing down. So I'm sure we'll be back to this topic at some point, unfortunately. But thank you guys for your topics this week. And I'm gonna pass it on over to Sarah. To let us know what's next. What's next? Our favorite segment. Well, mine anyway.
Yeah. Well, this
Oh,
segment
sorry,
is
Shantae
Shantae.
looking at me
Yeah.
crazy. What?
I was gonna say, you bring it over to me. I'm just gonna bring it on over to
Yes.
Shantae. We're gonna go in a circle.
Yes,
And usually
Shantae.
I am the forgetful one.
Yeah, girl, it's been a week. My brain is done. Like those kids in my class who don't want to do their research report. That's me. I'm done, girl.
You should have
Done.
gave them a test. You should have gave them a test.
They're gonna get one just for being a little brats anyway. Sorry, guys. Love you.
Elian's nominee for bitch ass of the week. Students that won't do their research
Students that won't
papers.
do their research paper.
So, you know, we have the segment. It's one of the best segments, bitch ass and badass of the week. For those who are just tuning in, bitch ass means you've just been a whole straight up asshole for the time being. And badass of the week is basically who's been a star. So let's start off with the bad and then end with the good. So starting with my nominee of the week, speaking of people comparing this shit, another person, Michelle Goldberg. For those who don't know who she is, I guess she's a columnist at NY, the New York Times, and also a contributor at MSNBC. I think she is. Who gives a fuck? This one talking about, oh, it's not fair that the NYPD coming in arresting, yada, yada, yada. It's not right. You know, they're protesting about what stuff was going on. Listen, they're protesting, you know, that. Throwing anti-Semitic strobes. They're trying to tell the university to divest from their investments in Israel, knowing good and damn well that the university itself, because I used to temp at Columbia, the university itself is not responsible for making the humanitarian efforts in Gaza. It's Congress. See, this is what happens when motherfuckers don't listen to history, don't read civics. It's taught from like third grade and on. So if you wasn't paying attention, and I don't know how you got to Columbia University, I digress. But back to Michelle. Michelle was feeling all sympathetic. She was trying to, another one trying to compare that shit to 1968. As a child who has a baby boomer mom, I could tell you right now, and even my mom protested, but protested in a different region in the South. The protests up until like 1960 something, 1970 something, were very peaceful. Okay? Some protested against the war and protested against racism. My mom protested against racism down south. It was very peaceful. Nobody got violent with the cops. The cops got violent with the people.
Very
People were
different.
peaceful. And the protesters invited people to join the movement, to join it. Not criticizing people that did not join the movement, or criticize people that don't understand it, or criticize people that don't agree with it. So Michelle can eat a dick. I don't like her. I never did. You know, she looks like a pimple. She looked like pus, exactly. She's just disgusting looking. She still wear that same dry ass hairdo. Her and another commentator that need to get their hair done. I don't like their politics. You know, they're always snarky. They're always criticizing people if they're not progressive enough. Like, you guys are gentrified progressives. If anything, progressivism started with black folks. And the protesters back in the day could tell you that because they stood on the side with black people. That's what's wrong with today's progressives and the progressive movement is that it's a trend instead of being a actual movement. It's a difference. So that's my nominee. I believe I don't I think Ileanne is up next, followed by Sarah.
See, now you got me looking up Michelle Goldberg. I don't know what she looks like.
She a pus-filled pimple, of course. My nominee this week. This incident actually happened about 2 weeks ago, but I'm still pretty heated about it. The real estate developer and father to models Bella and Gigi Hadid DM'd Representative Richie Torres from New York. Shout out to New York.
Shout out to the Bronx.
Shout out to the BX, baby. He sent him a series of really racist and homophobic DMs. And when it was made public, was somebody, the New York Post actually obtained these screenshots and posted them. And I'll just read you some of it. So he wrote to the congressman that he was a, quote, slave to whites. He said, "You are worse than the rats of New York sewage system. They have bigger brains than you. You might get a job as a bouncer at a gay bar. Make sure you dress as the KKK to hide that ugly gray colored face of yours." And then he continued, "You are just unusual, black, and colorful mouth for Israeli and APAC and looking for payday over 500K."
That's a
Because
fight.
he didn't condemn Israel. Because Representative Torres has been very vocal about the fact that Israel is an ally and will continue to be one, and he has no interest in playing these anti-Semitic games. So, Mohammed Hadid, like I said, real estate developer and father to Gigi and Bella, because, you know, he's of a Palestinian descent and just an all-around asshole and a racist and a homophobe, sent those messages to our representatives. So
Somebody need to go fuck that up. Somebody need to go.
I nominate him for bitch ass of the week.
Where's his location so we could? Well, I could pull up on him because I'm actually in the city.
Up.
Cause that's
So
some fucking shit. Like you don't talk to my mom's congressman like that.
Disgusting. And he put out this stupid apology, but like it was a non-apology. He said, "I used the wrong words, but you know, my sentiment, I'm not gonna apologize for the anger I feel about, you know."
You meant every word you
He meant
said.
every word he said. He knew what the
Thank
fuck he
you.
meant. So fuck you, you're a bitch ass.
Bitch ass. Yes, absolutely. Continuing on with this trend that we have in the show this week, my nominee for bitch ass of the week is Joanna Kings-Lutke, who is the spokesperson for the group you were talking about earlier. She's a PhD candidate. She teaches.
Oh my God, Sarah, are you going to read what her PhD dissertation is on? Because that's the most crazy topic I've ever heard in my life. Sorry.
I'm not. You can chime in after I give after I do my little spiel on it, because I did not read her PhD dissertation. I think it was something about Marxism, wasn't it? Yeah. So she's there at Columbia talking about how they need humanitarian aid so they don't starve in their little encampment that's literally 400 feet from a Duane Reade. Talking about all the, like, talking about how they need food and water so they don't starve. And the fact that they're calling it a liberated zone at an Ivy League fucking school where she's a PhD candidate, a liberated zone, asking for humanitarian aid so they don't starve or dehydrate, where they're right there by modern facilities that are not being bombed, that are not being razed to the ground. Bitch, please, with your pampered ass, having the audacity to call that humanitarian aid, you have the perfect opportunity to get up on those steps and call for humanitarian aid to the Palestinian people, to Gazans that are being harmed by Hamas and Netanyahu. And you have the fucking nerve, the fucking caucasity to call for humanitarian aid for yourself? Fuck you.
You bitch ass.
So this is a student at Columbia.
Yes. PhD
Okay.
candidate.
Yes.
There is a Morton
Also,
Williams. There's a Duane Reade. You're
yeah.
right. There's a Starbucks.
She's also a teacher, like she's an instructor there and a PhD candidate. So she teaches people stuff, you guys. Yeah.
I would not. I would drop that fucking class in a heartbeat.
I wouldn't sign up in the first place.
Give her no class so she has no money for the semester. How about that one?
Her
Nobody could attend your
dissertation.
class.
I mean, she's not tenured, so fire her ass.
Right. She's not tenured, so
Revoke her
yeah.
sus yeah.
Yeah.
Do all of that.
Yep.
Because
Because
I mean, I'm sorry, but
I
is she not showing up to teach her classes? Is that not a dereliction of her job duties?
Words
I
to
mean, if you're
Sav.
not showing up to do your damn job, get the
Yeah.
fuck out.
Oh boy.
Anyway, that's
So
my
we got
nothing
some
to
good
kick ass.
nominees. So we have, let me just look at my. So we have Michelle Goldberg, Mohamed Hadid, and Joanna King Slutsky.
I don't know if it's Slutsky or
Who
Slutsky.
gives a
Slutsky.
fuck?
I
That
don't
bitch that
know.
don't teach her fucking class.
That
Her.
bitch.
Yeah. And just to get FYI, this bitch is, you want to talk about pale? This bitch is all the way pale.
I'm dead.
That's the chick that be on MSNBC with Molly Jung Fast, who also look like she needs to put some type of moisturizer on.
Not.
You come and they probably wear no
Oh
bra neither, nasty bitch.
my
I don't like
God.
them. Sorry, Sarah. Sarah's face always gets me all the time because she just be cracking up. So, as badass of the week with this trend, I nominate, and yes, Shantae's nominated a Republican. Ana Navarro, who actually been voting for Democrats since 2016, by the way,
She
she voted for Hillary
has.
Clinton. So there we go. Ana had for like, I think it was like under 2 minutes, that segment, and the only one sitting there besides Whoopi was making some sense. Sonny made some sense, but Ana made sense that day. I was just like, she said, now you can be mad at Nimyatu. You can detest Hamas, but it's about the people. And if you trying to blame this on Joe Biden, call him Genocide Joe, look at the other side's gonna be terrible. She said, I want what y'all smoking. So pretty much it's just like, and y'all saw the video went a little viral. So be wise, folks. Know what you guys are. You guys talking about you uncommitted. Oh, it's just not for the election, not for the general. Y'all mother, I don't trust you motherfuckers, okay? And everybody talking about, oh, his progressive, the he needs the progressive base. You need black people. You need 40, 50% of white people, but you need black, Hispanic, Asian people, and indigenous people. We can't forget about the indigenous crew. You need them. Because at the end of the day, those young white kids, white kids still don't make up the difference for the vote. It's still black kids that vote at a high rate, followed by Hispanic kids and Asian kids and indigenous people. White people at the very bottom. So yeah, it's going towards Anna because Anna basically told him, I want to know what y'all smoking. What the fuck you thinking? Are you fucking stupid? So who is your nominee, Mrs. Clifton?
Well, my nominee this week is Alicia Keys, because I don't know if you guys knew, but she helped to develop a musical on Broadway that was like sort of kind of loosely based on her life experiences. It's called Hell's Kitchen, and it just got nominated for a shit ton of Tony Awards.
Good for
So
her.
congrats to you, Miss Keys. And she does the music, obviously, for the show. So some, a lot of new songs. And yeah, it led with 13 nominations. 13
Damn.
nominations. Tony nominations. Yeah.
That's awesome. Wow. Good for her.
Congrats to her.
That's badass right there. All right. Well, my nominee is Madam Vice President Kamala Harris. because she is out there. She started her economic opportunity tour, kicked off in Georgia, where she's out there. She's going to small businesses, black-owned small businesses, talking with them, listening to their concerns. She's explaining to them, because what I'm noticing is a lot of people, and I'm not going to speak to the black community because I don't know anything about that. I'm a white girl over here talking about my own people. There are a lot of people out there that don't understand or don't know what the Biden-Harris administration has done for small businesses and for the economy. I think largely the news media has failed to inform the public on that, with the bigger stories with Donald Trump being on trial, yada, 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 yada. So she's out there, she's hitting pavement, she's talking to these business owners. They're focusing on Black communities, which we know Madam Vice President has always been on the ground talking to different communities and everything since she was an AG, since she was a DA. But she's also double hitting some areas. She was just in Florida talking about the abortion ban that just went into effect there. And she's being very specific. I think she said in her speech in Florida, she said Donald Trump's name more than any other time than she has during all of last campaign 4 years ago. She said his name more times in relation to abortion during this part of her tour. This is because of Donald Trump. This is because of Donald Trump. Like, she's not messing around. She's out there, she's kicking ass, and she's letting people know that, look, this is what's been going on. This is what's happening. This is how things have gotten better with the economy. And if you wanted to keep trending that way, then you need to vote for Joe Biden. That, and I mean, she's just a badass 24/7. We love the vice president. We're K-Hive. We love the vice president. She's a badass all day, every day.
Yeah, day ones. We're day one.
She's just been doing her thing, and I'm gonna soon, future shows, I will tear into some of my black people, my young black people, because I think they need to understand what the administration has done for them and stop listening to the dumbasses on social media who got $1 million and don't give a fuck about them. But yes, Vice President is probably one of the most effective vice presidents since when Joe Biden was president, vice president to Barack Obama.
So who's the list of nominees for for Badass?
We have Ana Navarro, who follows me, by the way, on Twitter. Alicia Keys, shout out to Hell's Kitchen, and Madam Vice President Kamala Davie Harris.
Good nominees for both this week.
Yeah.
Have fun picking, y'all.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a tough choice.
Have fun choosing one of every category, y'all. I mean, good luck. May the odds be ever in your favor. So, we are going to go ahead. We are going to close out this episode. We will be back. I don't know if we're recording next week. If we're not, we will see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yep.
So, until then.
Bye. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Unapologetically She. I'm Sarah.
I'm Shantae.
I'm Eliane. You can find us on all social media platforms at the THEE Joyful She.
And it's because of listeners like you that we are able to share our thoughts on current events. Please support us on Patreon at the Joyful She.
We'll see you online.